Good evening, and welcome to Shuffle Play.
I'm Dana Mendez, greatest thing since Reagan, and this is my co-host,
Greg Larson, mail bomber and philanthropist. And tonight, we're here to talk to you about a very special topic. Dana, could you bring us into that?
It's something dear to my heart, Greg. Something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time.
Oh, what's that?
Greg, how are we going to put the harm back in harmony? I mean, what can we do to galvanize the peace movement to embrace militant, some may say, extreme tactics? Hugging just isn't enough anymore. We need to hug with a little more assertion, I think. What would you say?
Well, we could take the example of, boa constrictors. They hug, but they hug like they mean it.
They do. They hug with purpose. You can see fire in their beady little eyes. You can't say that about most reptiles. Well, with the obvious exception of dragons.
Well, dragons don't exist.
Existing or not, they have a purpose. I mean, do most things in the New Age, long-haired, hippie crowd really exist? That's a rhetorical question. But anyway, they do matter.
Yeah.
Well, we'll leave that one open to discussion since...
Discussion among the listeners, because now we're moving on to something else.
We are moving on to the human condition.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Another
big one. What is your condition, Dana?
My condition right now is I don't have very good shoes. I guess that could be called the shoe condition, but it's deeply affecting me, so I think it's pretty human.
What's wrong with your shoes, Dana?
Well, you see, these shoes are sandals inherited from my brother many, many moons ago. 9 moons, in fact. I had to repair them with a judicious use of duct tape. Not too much, not too little. But now the duct tape is falling away, and so my feet must contort themselves in terrible, terrible, terrible shapes in order that they may not slip from my tender, unprotected foot parts.
Can't you just add more duct tape, though?
That would seem to be the solution, but really, when thinking about life, the universe, and everything, you have to at some point come to a realization. You can't fix all your problems with duct tape solutions. You have to get down to the fundamentals and figure out what the real issues are at stake.
So you have to add chewing gum is what you're saying.
If chewing gum is what society needs, then chewing gum is what society is going to get. I will go to Washington and lobby. I will subsidize. I will shake whatever babies or kiss whatever hands or any kind of maneuvering that might need to be done. It will be done. And this is how I feel about my shoes. And the human condition.
Are you going to be kissing the hand of the Pope and garnering his favor thuswise?
Well, if the Pope is in Washington, I can't say no. I mean, the guy is hard to reach. If he's stopping in, I'm not going to turn him away. You don't do that to a Christian. Or the Christians don't do that. Or somewhere in that equation, there is not turning away. This much I know.
I only do it to practitioners of the Baha'i faith because I have an irrational hatred of them.
Well, what am I to say to irrationality? I mean, cultural relativism, man. Cultural relativism.
Cultural relativism?
Mm-hmm. That brings me to a kind of culture we are expressing the depths of my soul right now, and I'm really glad about this. It's a question that, once again, I've wanted to ask you for a long time.
Oh?
Greg Larson, what kind of Pokemon are you? I can ask this question in song format, if that would be
easier. I don't think that will be necessary in the slightest.
Well, no, it would add an additional interrogation that might be helpful to our studio audience. What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
My heart isn't especially true. I remember at one point I figured out that I'd probably have to be ice and psychic because, yeah. So that makes me Jinx, I think.
Large-breasted,
blackface Pokemon from the first generation who they made slightly less blackface later on.
But was she an ice type? Could she use those moves?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That does not make sense.
Yeah. Ice and psychic, dude.
Despite
the fact that the Pokemon's personality is absolutely nothing like mine.
Well, see, I would have gone with Slowbro. I'm pretty sure that actually is something that's kind of making sense. You have a pink four-legged creature of some kind. What he is ambiguous, but he's psychic. And a shellfish bites him on the tail. That's where your water ice type comes in. He could live in very cold water. And this union together is something that could apply to what you've described.
Possibly.
The problem we face in all of these choices is that no matter what you pick, you're going to be reduced to just one word and uttering that in kind of a different tone and pitch depending upon your mood. Slowbros don't have many moods. It's pretty much just Slowbro.
That's okay. I don't have that many different moods either.
Well, how would you express yourself as a Slowbro? Can you give us kind of a rundown?
Littering is bad, and you should feel bad.
You know what? You should feel bad if you're littering, because that means that you are being a capitalist pig dog. You're contributing to the decline of our great Soviet society.
Whoa, whoa, hold up. You don't need to be a capitalist pig dog to litter. Anybody can litter.
Well, anybody can litter, but I mean, to be good at it, you gotta have some rampant materialism going on, developed only, and I repeat, only through the greatest minds of Western civilization, operating and channeled through Adam Smith's seminal 1776 work, a title of which I can't remember.
The Wealth Fuck of Bitches Get Money, I believe is the title, the full title anyway.
No, that was a prime minister of France. I believe it was François Guizot, as he famously enunciated to the peasants of Paris. Peasants of Paris, he found that to be a very nice phrase, and so do I, in the year 1848. They were complaining because they didn't have very much, and he thought that the answer to that was for them to enrichez-vous, get rich. Prime Minister Guizot did not enjoy re-election. He also didn't enjoy...
Did he get guillotined?
He didn't get guillotined. This was 1848. That was retro by this point. It wasn't quite retro chic yet. So it wasn't in practice. It was just kind of awkward retro that you don't really want to remember. So, no, he actually enjoyed a long, comfortable life, but he was forced to resign.
Well, that's unfortunate. I mean, seeing any leader who cares that much about his citizens reduced to life and complete and utter relaxation is just... it's intolerable.
It is intolerable. That's why I look to our own heroes, the marshals of the Soviet Union.
Like who?
Well, there's Marshal Zhukov. And Timoshenko. Those are big names.
What did they do?
Well, they contributed materially and psychologically to the defeat of the most evil government structure in history, the Third Reich. I think that's pretty heroic. Yeah, they also served as a subtle form of resistance against the cult of personality around Joseph Stalin. And this is kind of in the room, if you feel like picking it up. It's mostly about Nazis.
Yeah.
I mean, most things are about Nazis, but there are other things in the world. I mean, there's things like carrying a stick.
Carrying a stick? With what? Your hands?
Hands? Well, no, no. Let's not be normative here. Monkeys carry sticks, and not always with their hands.
What do they do with their tails?
Tails and feet.
Hmm.
Tails and feet. Sometimes mouths. I haven't personally witnessed this, but I've heard stories.
Hmm.
Now, when carrying a stick, one faces certain questions. Should it be a big stick or a small stick? Should you walk softly or with a more bold, assertive attitude? My opinion on this really echoes the great Roosevelt, but I'm curious to think what you think. I am curious to think what you think, and the mind meld, which will be happening in the second part of our program. But for right now, I could just hear your opinions audibly without the assistance of telepathic powers.
Well, we're not supposed to tell you guys about the second half of the program. That actually happens in the second hour. You'll hear an entirely different program if you're still listening to the Yurt, but it's on a completely different website, which we're not going to tell you about. All you'll need to do in order to hear it is go to my dorm room, that's Dakin D307, and slide $50 under it in an envelope, and we'll hook you up.
Mm-hmm. Please be noted, it is 3 payments of $50. Shipping and handling is not included. Taxes may apply.
Mm-hmm.
Psychic transcendence is your responsibility. We will not be liable.
Mm. As a cheap substitute for psychic transcendence, you can always try jungle juice.
Jungle juice?
Yes. If you're feeling like drinking the classiest alcoholic beverages of your lifetime, you can drink jungle juice. Buy the cheapest fruit punch you possibly can and the cheapest liquor you possibly can and combine them.
I've heard stories about this jungle juice. Were they not stories that happened in China?
There are several stories. The stories that I am thinking of at present did not happen in China, but yes, there were some stories that happened in China too. Jungle juice is universal.
Jungle juice unites us all, whether we live in the jungle or do not live in the jungle, whether we have juice or do not have juice. The haves and the have-nots, the poor, the dispossessed, the possessed, and the rich. All enjoy juice and jungles, superbly in the combination thereof.
Dinosaur.
Well, yes, I am. I don't see why you're being rather aggressive about the whole thing.
I'm sorry, I was just struck instantly with the memory of Demetrius. You see, Dana here has this enormous plush dinosaur in his room, which I feel compelled to hug every single time I walk in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual experience.
He misses you terribly. He asks always about you and your health. You know, he says to me in his dinosaur voice, and it touches me so in my heart of hearts.
I've actually never learned how to speak dinosaur. Can you provide a translation for us and the folks in the audience?
Let's see. A translation of that would be... it's difficult because the emotions don't always transcend exactly. I do have a word of Icelandic here, which would be a more approximate conveyance. Let's see. Eyjafjallajökull.
But that's a volcano!
It is a volcano. How did you know that's a volcano?
Because I'm secretly fluent in Icelandic.
I'm forced to admit this is true. What are your adventures like? When? Why?
Fjallinheimen, Gjogel, Gjoglonga, Gronga, Grongelakjongo, Jogling, Glungo, Grongrongo, Jalikjuga, Jarru, Shmunakinga.
I'm sorry, but if this is going to be a one-sided conversation, I'm going to continue speaking dinosaur.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry, that wasn't appropriate.
Mm.
The Next point of concern for viewers in the modern world. Sovereign princes of Egypt, where have they gone? Where are they going? Why are they here? Are they here? What do you think?
I think the protesters probably got them.
If there is a law, if there is any law, that is the law that you cannot stop the beat, you cannot stop the music.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign princes of Egypt got a lot of music going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they will run through slums, they will wear scanty outfits, they will accept less money than that movie probably should have given them, considering its considerable success, both domestically and abroad. Mm-hmm. All in the pursuit of music. You know, political situation be damned.
Mm. But do they have snappy haircuts?
Well, actually, I have some feelings about their haircuts. See, in the initial portion, where they are ethnic Egyptians and the sons of Pharaoh, it's very much almost a bob type thing going on. Very straight, very black, symmetrical and nice. Later on, they move, once Moses, you know, realizes his true identity and accepts himself for who he really is after wandering in the desert, not for 40 years this time, this is before, stay with me, people, wandering in the desert, meeting a happy shepherd people, and, you know, just living and chilling with them for a little while. That's how you discover yourself, just in case you're wondering. That's a tip right there, straight from the Bible.
Mm.
Anyways, he moves into more of a tussled, natural Hebrew-type look, which I find quite appealing. There's a beard to go with it. Not a beard that protrudes from your chin in a very mummy-like way, but just a nice, honest beard. And I find that appealing.
There is no such thing as an honest beard.
I mean, some of them have been known to conceal knives, guns, and automobiles beneath their, you know, deceptive follicles, but I can't accept that generalization. I simply cannot. It is morally reprehensible.
Well, say you're walking down the street and this guy in a purple robe shows up. He's got this fucking enormous beard and he's just walking right towards you. What do you do?
I would hail him as Joseph. Well, you see, it's just purple?
Yes, it's just purple. Looks sort of like a bathrobe, but not really.
Are you sure it's not a Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Absolutely positive. It's just purple. There is no other color. It is just purple.
I mean, there's not like a little touch of mystic air about this. You wouldn't think perhaps that if you were asleep, it's something you'd like to see.
I don't think you're thinking that much about it, but there's a guy, purple bathrobe, walking towards you on the street, enormous beard. What do you do?
Well, I suppose I would have to, I'd have to do something about the poor.
What's that?
I'd have to do something about the poor.
About the poor?
About the poor.
Why would you do something about the poor? They don't matter.
Well, some may think that. However, the nation's food supplies are dwindling. And, I'm being modest here. But something needs to be done. A proposal must be set forth, and this is mine. We have to husband the poor, and you know, just in case, I'm saying we can't live on the beans in the bunker forever.
You're saying we kill and eat the poor?
I didn't say that. You just said that. You are a terrible person for saying that. I said nothing of the kind.
No. My plan for reducing world poverty would just be to get all poor people to return any and all defective goods they may have to the nearest Walmart superstore, and that would give them all the money they'd need.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see how.
Well, there are a lot of defective goods in the world.
I suppose there are.
Walmart sells most of them.
I guess they do.
Ergo,
I see where you're going with this. I see where you're going. I think.
Why aren't we talking about Nazis, Zana? Let's be serious. Why aren't we? We've gone about 10 minutes without mentioning them. I think that's a shuffle play record.
No, I've mentioned Nazis before.
Yeah, it's been about 10 minutes.
It has?
Yeah.
Oh, Well, let me discuss my feelings on a Canadian miniseries featuring Hitler. It is called Hitler, Rise of Evil. You may be guessing from that that it is not a positive documentary of Hitler's life.
Is it Hitler during his indolent boyhood days?
I hear there is some boyhood footage, but they kind of dramatized it in an interesting way. See, initially, Ian Kershaw, as a famed Hitler historian, was on board. After the producers decided to have Hitler's father, you know, die, I believe, by just packs of Jews who were roaming the street and killing people. Probably with dreidels.
And now, where does the Space Pope come into all this?
Well, the Space Pope, actually, he's in another dimension at this particular time in history, so I think I should point out that is another anachronism. The Space Pope was not present at this time. He was much more involved in the Australian incident.
The Australian incident?
The Australian incident. The Australian incident was actually that there was no Australian incident. The residents of Australia are a rough and tumble, ready people who are tenacious and ready for danger. There was no danger for quite a while. I mean, things just calmed down. The wildlife became pacified. No one could find fault with their neighbors.
And then Honey Sticks came to town.
Honey Sticks did come to town, because with Honey Sticks comes Honey Badgers. We know about Honey Badgers.
Do we?
Well, I don't...
I don't know about Honey Badgers. Do you know about Honey Badgers?
I thought we had anthropologists or something. I mean, don't we? Where are they?
They're off climbing a mountain.
But why are they climbing the mountain?
Nope, we're not getting into that.
Are you sure? I'm forming an inquiry. Why? Is it because they're in love with the mountain?
Rock stars. We're talking about rock stars now. We are not going to reference that video.
Do they want to envelop that mountain? Is enveloping one of their goals?
Nope, they just want trash hotel rooms.
Who are they? What do they want?
Rock stars. Heroin.
Well, actually, those things could be desired by honey badgers. I'm not going to deny that. I don't know the honey badger psyche, and that is what we are trying to find out here, is how to understand our enemy.
Well, I think all we really need to do is engage in a little bit of free association. I'll start. Wheelbarrow.
Red.
Blue.
Halo.
Angel.
Buffy.
Slayer.
Metal.
Nick Smith.
Beautiful.
Charming.
Gorgeous.
Ah.
Luxuriant.
Hotel.
Ricardo.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry, my thoughts were still with Nick Smith. I realize that free associating that with hotel might have seemed slightly racist.
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking about that at all. That is terribly racist, though. But, no, Ricardo isn't a word. Ricardo is a name, and names aren't words. As we all know, names are honey sticks. That is a distinctly separate grammatical category.
I'm so confused, but we don't even know what the badgers want. How can we know what the sticks are?
Dinosaur!
If you insist.
That was actually, Dana was just doing a bit from an opera he's learning right now. He's training to be a dinosaur opera singer. You can't tell, but it's in dinosaur Italian.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, Dana, tell me how you're feeling.
How am I feeling? How am I feeling? How am I feeling? I'm feeling questioning. I do feel like I have a question. Questions can be many things. They can involve... Actually, you know what? I don't have a question. I have a demand. I have a demand for you. Let my people go.
And why are you telling me that? Why are you asking me?
I'm not asking you. I told you I'm done with questions. Let my people go.
Is it something from your childhood, maybe?
Well, my people have been with me for a long time. I think they probably were indeed with me during my childhood. They've always been there. I just haven't seen them before. Oh, this is a revelation. Now let my people go.
But I really think we just need to talk a little bit more about this. I mean,
I think you need to release my people.
Well, tell you what. I'm just going to show you a couple charts. You tell me what they look like. They may look like ink blots. Don't say that they look like ink blots because you'd be just being a smartass.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
All right, so here's the first slide.
All right, the first slide looks like my people, who are as varied and numerous as blots of ink upon a paper, as sands in the desert, as water in the ocean, and stars in the sky. Our numbers are legion, and we are everywhere. We
Well, I'm not really sure what you did there. That last little bit was kind of close, but the correct answer was penises. Slide two.
I'm disappointed in myself. I failed my people. Speaking of my people, why haven't you let them go yet?
Well, I'm trying to figure out the best solution for you.
I have a final solution. I just want to point out here, people, that you have no more to fear. Nazis will be a continual presence on this program. This is just a reassurance.
Now back to Greg pretending to be Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm. Pretending, I was convinced. I was taken in by your witchcraft.
All right, so we're going to send you now to our exploitation house. It's not what you think. It's not nearly as bad as you think. Basically, all you need to do is go in there and yell at people for about 15 minutes of air time a day during weekdays, and we'll call that therapy.
Okay, so how many of the people in this house are Pharaoh?
None of them, actually. But at the end of it, all the people in the house, your people, will be let go.
See, my people have been with me through thousands of years and struggle and toil. They have received the word and seen the fire upon the mountain. They have known hardship, faced danger. They have toiled in the mines of Egypt, in the quarries, in the road, building roads, and lifting things, and being very tired. Those are my people.
And all to make polo shirts.
Well, Egyptian cotton is very soft. I can't blame the world for their demand. I can blame them for the oppression of my people, but I can't blame them for wanting to be comfortable. It's what we all want. I mean, I'm wearing one right now. It is a fantastic experience. I recommend it deeply. From the bottom of my heart. Wear these shirts.
And for those of you home who want to be a little bit more comfortable but don't want to shell out for a Jewish slave labor made Egyptian cotton polo shirt, all you need to do is buy one of our homeopathic remedies. We'll send you a grain of sand in the mail, you drop it in a glass of water, and all your problems will be solved forever. It's a goodbye.
I have to recommend you drink many glasses a day. You know, liquids make you feel good. So desu ka. Japan makes me think about orange juice.
Where does that association come from?
Well, I will tell you a story. See, Japan is a country with many layers.
Mm-hmm.
There is an outer layer that's kind of a strange color, has many, many pores in it.
Is one of them filled with seaweed?
No. No, it's not. The seaweed is kind of strewn about artfully in minimalist, very minimalist style on the rocks.
Fair enough.
But anyways, going back to this outer layer, it's very tough to get through. It comes up only in small, teeny chunks, and there's white bits underneath that are very... They're not very... They won't hurt you, but they're not pleasant. Inside this mysterious country of the shogun and the emperor and the samurai and ninja, you find a kind of fleshy membrane which encapsulates the delicious, highly nutritional soul of a people. A people I've come to know and love in my time among them. And that really to me is how Japan is like an orange. And of course, in our modern, high-speed society, we don't have time anymore to eat oranges.
Mm.
So we drink orange juice. That's how I feel about Japan. I don't have time for Japan. I want them to kind of condense themselves into some kind of liquid form and it'd be useful to the world in that way.
Miso soup?
Miso soup is a good start. I admire that. But sometimes they put fish in it, and I'm a little upset about that.
Oh, yes.
So if we could kind of go with a liquid Japan which works for all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter who you are, no matter what show your anime show might be, it's got you covered. Cowboy Bebop, Naruto, Azumanga Daioh, Death Note, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything though. Liquid Japan in a can.
I'm in favor.
I'm in favor, too. I am. But I told you, I came to the conclusion that at lunch this morning, I wasn't having lunch in the morning, actually. It was those were two distinct events in the time of my
breakfast.
Day. Technical breakfast. I think I care more about quality orange juice than I do about wine. The dilemma comes in that I find little to no opportunity to spend more than $10 on a bottle of orange juice in my day.
Why? God, fuck, no, God, why, no, fuck, why, God, why, no, shit, man, why, man, fuck.
It's a question I ask myself every day at the checkout counter before I'm escorted out by the police. Every day.
And just what interest do these police officers have in you?
To be honest, I think they like my eyes.
Well, I know that your father is a police officer, and so we've actually brought him here. He's backstage. Whenever you're ready, he can come out and we can talk. Is that okay?
How do you know who my father is? What? I didn't give you that information.
We are very, very, very powerful here at the network.
What network? I'm not on a television show. Who are you?
Why, Dana. I'm a homeopathic remedy. I need to write some new prompts.
You mean
I am also lemons.
Well, we are all lemons, but again, I don't see how this is relevant to your global syndicate that apparently knows who my father is and has brought him here. I mean, I don't... There's no stage. Mm-hmm. Where is he? What have they done with my father?
Well... I really hate to be the one to break this to you. I mean, I know it's really intense stuff, and I'm just trying to insulate it from you as long as possible because it's just too horrible to say, but he's with our friend Michelle.
You mean Michel Foucault?
Yes. You may never see him again, Dana. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know what to feel right now. I mean, there's... I lack distinct form or coherent argument.
Yes, and your father will soon, too.
I think I'm with Michel Foucault.
Aren't we all with Michel Foucault?
I don't know.
Aren't we all just wandering through this field of life?
Is it a field for you? I usually perceive it as more of a swamp.
Maybe more like a cave.
A cave is getting a bit platonic. I mean, that's kind of going back on cliches. We got a little sleepy for a minute there.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done with the sleeping. Instead, I think we should talk to you about something else. Naps. Naps. We need to talk about preventative naps.
A pretty apt transition. Naps. Something I probably should have had today. Naps. Something that is free and, well, it's not free if you don't have a bed, but hey, you can probably take one somewhere else, but naps are portable.
I just wanted to let you know I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you, man.
Oh, okay.
I'm down with what you're saying.
Mm.
You're in touch with the new generation.
Mm. You know who else is in touch with the new generation?
Who, man? Who?
Pope John Paul II.
Man, I don't know about that cat. He lived in a big house. He didn't have soul. He said he had soul, but he was a pretender. I mean, like he was pretending to have soul.
But he single-handedly dismantled the Soviet Union with absolutely no help from anybody else, or from pre-existing economic conditions within the Soviet Union.
Man, I was dismantling the Soviet Union before anyone was dismantling the Soviet Union. I was just doing it for fun. And I didn't care about the scene. You're all too wrapped up in the ways of this world. You're not doing it for the art anymore. The art of dismantling communism.
That's because we've pretty much run out.
You only run out of communism when you run out of inspiration.
I mean, look at Italy. There are no communists in political power there.
Silvio Berlusconi. He's ambiguous. He is many. He contains multitudes. He knows the ways of power. Like Kamehameha, he knows that one. He knows that one real well. He knows sex scandals. He's got those down. There's nothing that man can't do.
Well, I think he kind of missed the boat on the new romantic subculture in which British teenagers in the 1980s would wear puffy shirts and do generally bizarre things to bring back the romantic era.
I can dig it.
I sure can't.
Well, that might have to do with the fact that you're not a Chilean miner.
Yeah, they're...
In fact, I don't even believe you're Chilean.
It's true. I've been pretending all these years.
How could you, Ricardo? I trusted you. I trusted you with my family. We were good to you. We took you in when you were nothing. Adrift. On the streets. I don't remember which street, because it was a very long time ago that we took you in and gave you hospitality. Why, Ricardo, why?
For the money.
But there was no money. We are a poor people. You know this is true. The only gold we have is the Nazi gold. It was paid to my family many years ago through a technical irregularity.
A technical irregularity?
Yes. The Swiss banks... They are so secret. They have tunnels to every corner of the earth. Every corner, including ours.
Our little nook in the woods.
Our little nook in the jungle. The jungle that is ripe with the fruits. The fruits and the shoots and the roots. And the Indian gods. The Hindu pantheon is here. We drink together. The strains. The beautiful music.
And speaking of beautiful music, here, have some AHA. Sorry about that, folks. Here's some actual AHA. Norway's finest, ladies and gentlemen.
Were they Norwegian?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Nope. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Nothing at all?
Nope, not really. I mean, the end times are coming.
Oh, are they?
Yep. They are. I know this actually because of cats.
Cats?
Cats.
Felines, furry animals?
Yeah, that was actually almost exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say it's all about feline apocalypticism.
Hmm.
Yep. And it came to me, actually, I was sitting down, and I saw it. There was a greeting card. A greeting card which ostensibly was meant to portray a small kitten, first being in a, you know, cute, but relatively stationary, you know, on the level position. And then, by means of holographic 3D technology, when you tilted the card, the kitten would suddenly spring into the air in a kind of very endearing greeting. However, when viewed from the exact angle that I was at, the truth of this image was revealed, in which you can see the image of the first kitten is in fact running away from the looming shadow of the figure of Christ, represented by a cat in the background, who is signaling the end of days, the coming of the apocalypse. And you know, the sound of lamentation and the wailing, it can be heard clearly as you perceive the terror, the righteous fear of the Lord. It's absolutely, I can't describe it, but I saw it that morning in that kitten's face. I'll never forget it. You may make sound effects now, but I tell you, the end is coming. We have to be ready. Yes. Yes, I understand. You soundboard people, what cares have you for the end? For you will live on in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven that exists as a registered internet domain name, or you live in the electronic world. The world beyond hope. World beyond dream. World without end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
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 So let's discuss the signs that the apocalypse is coming for us right now. Generally, most concepts of the apocalypse include aberrant things happening immediately before things start to go down.
I have noticed some aberrances. I have.
Like what?
Well, I was walking down the street today, and out of nowhere, a seven-headed beast just leaped into traffic.
Hmm. Just with a complete disregard for its own health and safety?
Well, it kind of had an aura, and it was flying. So I don't think it had a lot of worry about its safety in the first place, but it was pretty aberrant.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I ask because I've actually seen one of the signs of the apocalypse happen rather recently. See, my room's a mess right now. And it's a mess because my room is burglarized, and I don't think people did it. I found some scat on the floor, and because I'm rather knowledgeable about this sort of thing, I determined that it was bears. They took my computer, they took my speakers, they took my boots for some reason, they even took my bass guitar.
They're probably not even the same size. I mean, they can't use those.
So, I was burglarized by bears.
Bears. That is an aberration if ever I heard one. I mean, if they try to do, like, you know, open picking on, they just finger pick it on that guitar, they're, or the bass, excuse me, sorry, bass.
They will destroy it.
It's not going to work. I hope one of them has a credit card.
A credit card?
A credit card.
Oh, to replace, oh, I thought you meant to pick.
Oh, I do.
Well, that would probably be just as bad for the strings.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've felt the sting of a credit card, and I felt the terrible, terrible blows of a mother grizzly's claws, and I prefer the one that has the Visa stamped on the side of it.
So the bear.
Yeah, it was They were after the house. I had some loans that weren't doing it. Mm-hmm. So they it was the fifth time they'd had to call. They really sent in the big guns.
Mm-hmm.
Attached to a bear. I mean, both the guns and the bear were pretty big.
Yeah. And it should be pointed out that right now at 8:53 p.m. at your radio, it is probably raining.
Is it?
I don't know. I thought I heard something on the ceiling.
Could have been. I wouldn't know about that. I would think it's just another aberration.
Mm.
I mean, rain is pretty mundane. I think we receive that in non-apocalyptic times. Something like demon spawn. I would put it more on demon spawn.
Fair enough. Or tofu.
Tofu. I understand I'm in a minority here, so I guess that most people would consider tofu to be a valid form of demon spawn.
There is
most likely tofu on our roof.
It's just tasteless. I mean, it's vulgar. Vulgar is what it is. Its existence is crass and tasteless.
I mean, vulgar bespeaks like a kind of crude nature, which I don't think that the food possesses. I mean, this is not peasant fare. It's sophisticated. You put it with sauces and vegetables, things that are good for you and can be arranged elegantly on a white plate. I think there's some definite taste going on there. Whether or not, I mean, it provides anything for you, it can look classy and expensive.
Mm.
I don't think anyone can deny that.
I sure can. All I know is when I see little cubes of white, God, whatever it is, floating in just water, I have to wonder, what kind of god would allow this to exist?
Probably a Japanese one, because I think you're talking about miso soup.
Well, that's not really water. In that case, tofu was quite acceptable.
Well, what in the world have you seen tofu floating in water? Who does that? What? Truly, what god?
Well, out behind my friend's mansion the other day, the pool was full of tofu. We think it was the wrath of some god or another, but we're not quite sure which at this stage.
That's pretty avant-garde. Mm-hmm. I mean, a whole pool. Tofu.
Yeah, we're thinking it's whatever god David Lynch prays to, but we're not really sure.
I wouldn't put him up to praying much. Don't seem like he's the kind to be bending the knee.
I think he'd probably pray if it was to the right god.
Well, what would the right god be? You're much more familiar with the man than I am.
Well, it would probably be an opera singer.
An opera singer, eh? I've heard some operas recently, not just dinosaur ones. This was actually one that was written quite recently in Libya. You can't understand the lyrics in their normal form, so I'll break them down a bit. Get off me, get off-y, is the central and catchy refrain of this, you know, cheery little slice of Libyan life. So, get off me, Gaddafi, why don't you move your foot right off of my country? Do da da ba ba. It's a very experimental form of opera.
It's funny because it doesn't resemble opera in any way, shape, or form.
I'm telling you, experimental.
It's almost like 1960s jangle pop, but I suppose integrating that with way that's a rock opera. Oh god, a Gaddafi themed rock opera. Well,
that man needs a crescendo and many pyrotechnics to back his entrance. Mm. Because otherwise, the audience would probably be firing on him in turn.
Mm.
I mean, you've got to keep your people intimidated and suppressed.
Yeah, and speaking of keeping the people intimidated and suppressed, I'm just going to close out the show by expressing my undying hatred for rock opera in all ways, shapes, and forms. This has been Shuffle Play with Dana Mendez and Greg Larson. Good night, and stay tuned for Underground Stars with Sophia in just a few minutes. Good night.
Keep it classy.